It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. And we're like counting down the days to the playoffs right now. If you don't know, you're going to be able to hear all the Astros playoff games right here on ESPN 97.5. You may ask, how could you possibly do that when 790 is the rights holder? Well, that is where the ESPN connection comes in. So if you'd rather listen to a random ESPN, maybe it'll be, will it be Boog? I don't know who does their playoff stuff on the radio consistently, but we will have Astros baseball, not Booger. What's his name?
Boog Shambi.
Boog Shambi.
Yeah, I think it's Sean McDonough most of the time.
He does that. I like Sean McDonough, particularly with college football. So we'll see. But we're going to have all their games, and we're just waiting. We know we're locked in as a three. Some news coming from yesterday beyond the game, because the game is like, okay, can we simulate, can we super sim, fast sim to the end of the season? But things happened yesterday. We had an Alex Bregman moment. Alex Bregman, at least the team acknowledging that this could be very well his last time in front of that Astros crowd in the regular season. It's a very interesting thing to do when management is telling you, hey, we're going to get an offer out there. We're going to get an offer out there. We're going to have discussions. And then the manager's like, actually, we all know what's happening here. Hey, you want to go out there? We're going to treat Alex Bregman right. He ain't going to be here next year. So let's get him out there and acknowledge that he has been a great Astro. So I'm sure Dana Brown will tell people when asked that they tried. I'm sure Jim Crane, if asked, will say they tried. But the organization, at least the guys who wear uniforms day-to-day, are acting like Alex Bregman's not going to be back next year. So in the middle of the game, Alex Bregman goes out there, and when Joe Espada goes to home plate to make a change, we see Alex Bregman walk off, and you'll hear the reaction from the crowd and Todd Callis as Alex Bregman leaves the Minute Maid Park field in the regular season for what appears to be, at least as an Astro, for the final time.
Adam Carter, he's going to call out Alex Bregman. Reggie didn't know what was happening, but he's going to leave the field here. Fans reacting.
Pretty cool moment for Alex. Been an incredible career in that Astros uniform.
So, yeah, he's not coming back. For all the hope, for all the selling of, yeah, maybe he'll, yeah, we'll try. Nah, he's not coming back. Everyone's at, from the broadcast booth to the manager, forget it. Thank you, Alex, for your time here. And it's weird because, you know, he will be playing on that field again in less than a week. But we're not going to be doing standing ovations and exits during the middle of playoff games. So, get comfortable with the fact that Alex Bregman is gone. Because everyone else over there is, it just is the prevailing thought. And despite the front office telling us one thing, you can't fool us, Jim Crane and Dana Brown. And if you thought you could, your guys in the uniform said, hey, stop trying to fool people. He ain't going to be back.
And Jeff Blum, too.
Yeah. Jeff Blum was like, "What? He's been a great Astro." Almost like saying goodbye.
Yeah. What a start to the Shea Whitcomb era.
Oof. I was trying to think of worst passing of the torch moments because whether Joe Espada was trying to make it that, that's what it felt like when Whitcomb goes out there. He goes out there, and we're thinking to ourselves, okay, this is the future. The present and the past walked off the field. The future is now. Let's see what Shea Whitcomb's got. It's not like he's not been on the roster for time now. But in this moment, it was, we take out one of the best Astros of this current run to bring on the future one, who we hope takes the mantle of third baseman for the Astros and does it well. And Shea Whitcomb was like, actually, I'm not ready for this.
Turns out I'm still hungover.
Yeah. Yes. That's the funny way to think about it, that Shea Whitcomb was not expecting to play. He goes, I ain't got to play.
This is
Alex Bregman's last game. He's going to get all nine, right? I'm not going to go out there and play. Let's do it big tonight.
It's the first time I've won the AL West.
Yeah. I'm going to celebrate like I've never done it before, because, in fact, I've never done it before. We talked about the person popping the cork in the middle of Spada speech, maybe it was Whitcomb. And we were saying,
getting a head start.
Yeah, we were saying, hey, we're gonna need a veteran to go, hey, we don't do that while the guy's still talking. Apparently, someone needs to tell Whitcomb, if he was in fact hungover, which is the joke we're gonna lean into right now. Hey, man, we still got more games to play. This ain't the end of the. You're not down in Sugarland where DeCenzo is celebrating a PCL championship. But he can get as drunk as he wants. By the way, the Space Cowboys. PCL champions. And apparently the guys down there were not happy, and they let it be known. They were not happy about all the criticism of the Astros minor league system. Oh, yeah? You think we're not good? We'll go put a PCL championship on your heads. That was the sentiment down there. A lot of Alex Bregmans down there. At least the young Alex Bregman. A lot of young Alex Bregmans down there. Oh, you're going to pick me later in the draft? Hey, it's the second overall pick, Alex. Well, I'm going to remember, so I'm going to wear the number two. A lot of the guys with that attitude down in Sugarland, and they get it done right here. Well, at least it was on 92.5. They got it done. You had something to say?
Shea Whitcomb was 0-for-4 last night, or yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, 0-for-4.
I think, you know.
You're going to go hungover?
This is somehow accusing him of showing up to work hungover is the charitable explanation.
Because if he was in his right and sound mind and played that poorly, it'd be even worse.
Bryce Matthews, please. That's what I would say. But I'm going with the narrative that he was just hungover. You know?
Yeah, we've seen him play third base before. He's not been that bad before. Yeah. It's hard to be that bad.
He doesn't have a little bit of fun after he won the AL West. But yeah. Alex Bregman sitting in the dugout being like, yes. Every time he bobbled a ball, every time he threw it wide, just yes.
I guess the thought is, do we believe Alex Bregman wants to be here? We always make the assumption that maybe the player's tired of being here. We make the assumption that he wants to, but maybe he's tired of the quote unquote disrespect because they didn't come with an offer that he deemed appropriate. But Shea Whitcomb went out there and did something, at least up until the point of this tweet, only one other Astro had done. Well, it's the first time an Astro had done it since 2013. Commit three errors in a game. Also a third baseman, Matt Dominguez, and then he added a fourth one. He goes, oh, you think I'm going to be Matt Dominguez?
No,
I'm going to be this is going to be Shea Whitcomb thing. I'm going to commit errors at third base and do it four times.
It's just big me.
I don't know who was worse. Actually, I do. Whitcomb was worse. Rashawn Dubin wasn't much better.
No.
He was pretty bad, too. Hector Neris in the never-ending battle between him and Julio Rodriguez. Julio won this round. And Julio Rodriguez was asked after the game about their back and forth, the incident that happened. Life is too short to be holding things on. Obviously, that's something that he understood that it was not correct to do. And we talked about it, and he apologized in person, and it's all good. We're grown men. And I will hit home runs off of him if he gives me the opportunity. And that's what happened yesterday afternoon.
Do you think that was part of the apology? Was he serving up a meatball?
Hey, man. I know you guys are still in the race.
Yeah, I'll do you a solid.
I'm not gonna serve one up when we're still competing. But now that it's over, I'll give you one.
Yeah, I mean, that's what was going through my mind during the Alex Bregman living eulogy that he was getting.
At least as for his Astros tenure,
yes.
A eulogy.
I was thinking, the Seattle Mariners are still playing for something here.
Yeah.
they still care about what happened. They're just sitting there with their arms full and being like, all right.
Can we get this game going,
get
please?
Get off the field. All right. We get it. Ugh.
I know.
Thank God he won't be in our division anymore.
We're happy about it. So a lot happened in a game that meant next to nothing, unless you were really invested in Kikuchi finishing his Astros regular season with the team being undefeated in his starts.
I mean, the second that he was the starter the day after they clinched,
that streak was off the table.
No, they're not winning. Kikuchi's a guy who needs like 14 hours of sleep. No way he got 14 hours of sleep.
Well, he wasn't at the game, right? He watched the celebration from home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did not go because of his insistence on that amount of sleep. He did not participate, and he talked about it. Hey, hopefully there are more celebrations to come, but he wasn't a part of it.
Oh, okay.
So he might have got his 13 to 14 hours of sleep, and then the bullpen and Shea Whitcomb let him down.
I love the commitment to the sleep lifestyle.
Look, I am one who takes a nap every day, but that's more out of necessity because getting up at the time I get up ain't great for me. But 13 to 14 hours, I can't imagine. 13 to 14 hours at any point.
Yeah.
Straight. So we're thinking he just flies through. 13, 14 hours, never gets up.
Yeah. Like 10 to 11? Is that the time that makes most sense? No, I mean, most games he's at the ballpark. So it has to be like 12 to 1 or something.
I can't. It's something I have never done, even as a kid.
In the afternoon.
But we're talking... That's pretty much double what anyone else gets as far as straight sleep. Like, there's some people, depending on their job, who may be able to put in 9 hours. But for the most part, we're talking 7 to 8 generally. And he's getting 14 straight hours of sleep, it's a good life.
Must be nice.
Yeah. Kikuchi, shout out to you, man. Training yourself to sleep for 14 hours straight. Think about that. The man is sleeping far more than he's awake.
Yeah. Yeah, he spends most of his life asleep.
And when he is awake, he's at a ballpark.
He's a professional baseball.
What a life. Hey, keep striking guys out.
How much of his life isn't asleep or baseball?
So
he has to be like, if he's at a starting pitcher, for 6 hours.
Let's say he's not starting that day. So when does a non-starting pitcher get to the ballpark? He knows he's not pitching that day.
Couple hours before
the game. And so he's probably at the ballpark for around 5 hours on those days, 5 hours. And then you throw in the sleep habits. The man,
19 hours.
The man during baseball season spends about maybe 4 hours a day not sleeping or doing baseball type things.
We're not taking account the commute.
It's baseball.
Let's just say 30 minutes each way.
And that's baseball related too. So does he have like 2.5 to 3 hours a day during baseball season where he's awake and not, that's, well, I mean.
Is he married?
I don't know Kikuchi's life.
I'll just say, I wonder how Mrs. Kikuchi feels about this.
Well, I'm sorry. Sorry, I got to get my sleep in. Well, he can't have kids, right? 13 to 14 hours a day? Who's allowing that if you're the significant other? And then I got to do my baseball thing. But there, Kikuchi does not get to 10-0.
He is married since 2016.
Okay, so. An understanding wife. Where's Kikuchi? You know where he is.
Probably either asleep or at the ballpark.
Yeah, those blackout curtains must those blackout curtains must hit. He must know the best ones to get if he's getting that type of time.
Yes. If you need a mattress or pillow recommendation, hit up Yusei Kikuchi. His personal life section on Wikipedia. Literally is only about his sleep pattern and the fact he got married in 2016. It's the only two sentences.
I'm sure it's the way he likes it, because once people start digging in, they're going to find something they think they should take offense to. So all we know about him is he sleeps and he balls out when he's an Astro. And hopefully that continues in the playoffs. We have some information about the weekend rotation, and that's mostly because it kind of confirms what we all believe, that one legendary Astros pitcher won't be on the playoff roster, at least not for the wild card round. So we'll talk about that when we get back. We have some Texans news as well regarding some missing players. As far as them missing practice, we know where they are. We know they're around. They're just not at practice, so we'll get to that as well. And also, we do have a lawsuit involving Ohtani's 50-50 ball, because of course we would. Of course there would be a lawsuit regarding that. So we'll get to that. as well. But before we head to break, I do want to talk about this, my bookie. And it's Thursday, which means it is the weekly risk-free boost. That happens on Thursdays. And you're asking what that means? It means this. If your bet wins, you win big. If it doesn't, forget it. MyBookie is going to refund your wager. So risk-free betting today. Check it out. You can try it out on the NFL tonight. We've got an NFC East game to look forward to, or not. But if you want to make it more interesting, you can go to MyBookie for that. And remember, use that promo code BET975, particularly if you're a new customer. They match that. Whatever you put in on your when you sign up, they'll match that up to $1,000. It's a great way to partake in MyBookie if you're a beginner. And remember, if you know all about MyBookie and you take advantage of everything they give you, they have the new loyalty program, which is called MyBookie Plus. All it simply means is the more you play, the more you win. It's pretty simple. You climb through these tiers of their loyalty rewards program to unlock even more promotions, exclusive giveaways, and bigger rewards. Just go to MyBookie and check out MyBookie Plus. It's mybookie.ag, where you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Willie P. We'll get to you right now. At some point, we're going to hear from Kelvin Sampson. He was, I think it was the Cougs' first practice, and the media went out there to talk to him. And he had some thoughts on the administration's buy-in to athletics, particularly when it comes to private jets. He doesn't want to keep begging donors for those NetJet miles, apparently. So we'll hear from Kelvin Sampson at some point here. But let's get to Willie P. He wants to talk a little soccer. What's up, Willie P?
Hey, good morning, Dale. How you doing?
Good morning, man. How are you? I'm good.
Not bad. You know, I can't call it. So I actually lied. I did not call to talk about soccer. I called because today's Thursday, and I'd like to throw some shade.
Oh, okay.
So last night I was driving around, and I got a text message from my dad, and he was like, did you listen to the Dale show from Tuesday? And I was like, no, why? And he was like, somebody's biting your bit. And I'm like, huh. So I put on the podcast, and I'm listening to it. And I'm going to preface this this shade by saying he did bite my bit, but he also did it in service of trying to get, I guess, Raheel back on the show. You know, free Raheezy. I'm all for that. I appreciate the segment you guys had together, whatever. But Lazy J, the next time you want to come out here and steal my what it do bit, baby, I'm going to need you to bring me some Gatorade. You know, you out here slurping me up. I'm losing electrolytes.
Oof.
So, yeah, next time, pay homage to your boy. Anyways, you guys have a good day. Sean A. Mace, what it do, baby?
Appreciate you, Willie P. I didn't notice that Lazy J did that. Willie P, in the future, maybe you don't want to explain all that to the intern, but you don't have to. You don't have to pretend. If you just want to say, I want to yell about Lazy J about something, you can tell that. You can tell us that. It is Thursday. And while I will not do the gimmick infringement thing of taking something Raheel created and repurposing it for this show, if you guys want to throw slander, shade, whatever you want to call it at people, you're more than welcome to. Well, that's kind of an all week thing. But if you want to do it today because it is Thursday, we welcome that. Lazy J, I don't know if you're listening. I'm not so arrogant. I assume you're listening. Like, I know you're out there listening. I don't know. But if you are, you know the deal. You want to call in and take your shot at Willie P? We welcome that, too.
Yeah, I do think it's fitting that we don't want to do throw Shade Thursday because it's gimmick infringement. But then the shade that Willie P is throwing is the fact that another listener or another caller is infringing on a gimmick.
Yes, without giving proper credit. Now, the question would be is what it do
baby.
Something that is like just for the general public and it can't be given to one person? That's the question. What it do is not new.
But like, if someone made a sitcom and the main character said, did
were
I do that?
Were Caleb and Caleb?
Yes. And the main character said, did I do that?
Yeah.
People would be like, you're biting Steve Urkel style.
You are. That's
you don't
true.
Own the Steve Urkel does not own the phrase, did I do that?
But what if you, it depends on how you say it. Like, if you say like, did I do that? Whatever. But if you, did I? You put that on it, then yeah, you're clearly stealing that. So I don't know how Lazy J said it, because it didn't connect with me that he was taking Willie P's thing. I do appreciate his father snitching on Lazy J and recognizing his son's
gimmick.
Someone's
gonna have your back.
Yeah, and if it's not your dad, who will it be? So I appreciate Willie P's dad and Willie P and Lazy J if you're out there. It's a lot of infringement because Lazy J calls about soccer too. They both call about soccer.
Mm.
And Willie P said, nah, not this time.
Get your own stuff, Lazy J.
Yeah. Well, credit to Willie P for not freaking out over Kylian Mbappe. Oh, how many goals is he going to score? It's so early in the year. Relax. You got that man for like the next 9 years, it feels like. As long as he wants to be there, he's a star. Real Madrid will have him. And it's early. Don't worry. Don't worry about Kylian Mbappe. And I think on the day that Lazy J called, he scored a goal, I think. So that's where we are there. So anyone else want to call in, we'll get to that. Look, you guys know the deal. You can take shots at people who work here, people who call the show, people who work on this show, or people in sports. That's not specifically what Thursday is for, but we can make it that if you want. You guys can drive where the show goes on a Thursday and really any other day. So, Fake Eric, whoever that might be, wants to take a shot on a Thursday. What's up, Fake Eric?
Hey, Joe. Great show as always. Number one fan. How you doing?
Welcome, Fake Eric.
Yeah. I also wanted to take a shot at Lazy J. He wanted to call in on Monday and not show up to the listener party. Everybody was asking for Lazy J, and he didn't show his face. And also, I want to take a shot at all the fake Ryans and fake LaSalsas that didn't show up to the listener party. You guys are a bunch of puss.
Mm. Did he add the Y, or did he just end with an S? Because I know you hit the button. Do you think he added the Y, Sean?
Yes, I think he did.
Oh, okay. Well, if he added the Y, and Sean's the producer, we normally just put you in hold and say, don't do that anymore. So, Sean, it's up to you. It's at your discretion. Do you have anything else, Fake Eric, or did you want to also use a word that would force Sean to hit the button?
No, I just want to say, great show as always, Dale. Love the show, and keep up the good work, though.
Thank you. That's his monotone, Fake Eric Wong. I know who you are. You were at the party for a long time, if I remember correctly.
That was a good fake Eric.
He didn't mention Abigail Dye, though, so.
That is true.
Yeah. And now the recurring bit for Eric is telling us that our two favorite teams are going to play each other in the title game. So if I want to add a little flavor to your impression, those are the new thing Eric Wong does beyond the monotone voice. Mike, I guess our intern has decided to call it Take a Shot Thursday. It's fine with us. I mean, it would.
No, it's not gimmick infringement.
It's not gimmick infringement if we go Take a Shot Thursday.
Aha. This is the RC Cola of the Throw Shade Thursday.
It's
Mr. Pibb.
Whatever they call. What do they call? I forgot the cereal. I forgot the name brand cereals. Was it Smacks? What was it called?
Honey Smacks.
What do they call Honey Smacks at Walmart? The one instead, if you get it, you don't get in a box because it's Walmart brand.
The bagged one.
They put them in the bag. This is what we're doing right now. Yeah, Odie's is what we're doing too. Instead of Cheerios, we got Odie's on Thursday on the Del Olalea show. Mike, we'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to get in and take their shot on a Thursday? We welcome that going forward. And if you guys want to do that all day, cool. If not, we have some other things to get to. It's up to you guys. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
At some point, we'll get to what D'Amico Ryan said yesterday about addressing the O-line penalty issues. And Sean and I will discuss whether we think whatever they said they did is actually going to work, considering what we think Laremy Tunsil's issue with false starts are. We'll see. We'll see. But D'Amico did speak on it. Certainly was a question that people wanted answers to. And he gave one. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But first, let's get to Mike. He wants to take a shot on a Thursday. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Dale, love the show. I wanted to take a shot at the Thursday and Monday night pregame panels. They're getting so bad now. I don't understand why they have two-hour pregame shows, and it's just all gimmicks. They have Ryan Fitzpatrick out there with his shirt unbuttoned all the way to his belly button. He has crap in his beard. Then Monday nights, you have Jason Kelce, who they're trying to make the assumption of, like, he's the everyman's man. He only wears T-shirts. They have stains on them. And he also, too, has food in his beard all the time. I don't understand why it's just this. It's not even good television. It's just boring at this point. Like, do you ever think they're going to go back to just 30 minutes before the game, just talk about the game, and that's it? Or is it always going to be this long, drawn-out, wannabe, like, podcast that they're trying to have out there for 2 hours before the game?
I don't think they're going to go back. And this is something that popped up during the playoffs or the finals. People took issue with that programming because they never talked about the games. And the actual basketball analysis was very short. You'd have a guest player on from one of the teams maybe recently eliminated. You have them on, you think, to discuss the game. And they got about 20 seconds because all it was a kind of a serving spoon for commercials. But as far as what, so sure, and that's on ESPN too. So that was getting heat. Now you're mentioning the Prime broadcast and now the ESPN broadcast. I don't think we're going back. I think they believe that they need something to hold people's eyes until the game actually begins. Why they think the Jason Kelce's and the Ryan Fitzpatrick's of the world are going to do that, I don't know. Because if they actually had Ryan Fitzpatrick tell me or showcase how a quarterback's going to break down the opposing defense he's going to see, that'd be great. He's a quarterback. What is he there for other than to do that? But Ryan Fitzpatrick is now a personality.
He also has a beard, so, you know.
Yes.
You gotta
and
put stuff
and there's got to be food in it, yes. But if you have a quarterback on one of those sets, use the quarterback's expertise to tell me how this quarterback is going to deal with the defense that he's going to see, because the assumption is this quarterback has seen this defense before and this is how he would attack it. But no, Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't an analyst. He'll sit down with players. He'll ask them questions that are generally human interest stuff, and then he'll be comical. I'm not looking for that from Ryan Fitzpatrick, to be honest, but some people are. That's why he's there.
Yeah. Is it as simple as, Dale, what's the most successful sports studio show right now?
It is one that we hope continues, but is in flux. It is Inside the NBA.
Yes. I think it's more likely that everyone is just trying to be Inside the NBA. And the thing is, they don't have Shaq. They don't have Kenny and Charles.
And Ernie directing everything.
They have Ryan Fitzpatrick and
his
beard. They have
Carissa Thompson. And they have Andrew Whitworth. All those guys. Yeah, it's not the same.
It's just a hard... They're trying to capture a certain magic. Because, I mean, there's a reason. Everyone always says, like, what you're saying, where let's have some expertise. Let's have them at the giant board with circles with where the safeties
no
are.
No one really wants that.
No one actually wants
no
that.
No one wants
because
that.
Because you know what TNT does? Not that.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny
they
will,
just make fun of
Kenny's
each other.
Bit is him running up to break something down, but the only thing we care about is him, that weird run he has making it up there.
Or and the then, race.
And they'll have a race. Yeah, to your point, yeah. So I think you're out of luck, Mike, on that. It's just going to be something where, as Sean astutely put, they're trying to recreate something where the point is there's a magic to what those guys do. There's a chemistry to what those guys do. And, I mean, we have two Hall of Famers in the morning who do a show. Can anyone really tell you why that works when those guys do what they do? You can't really – there's really no explanation for why it works.
You can't make a show and be like, let's be John and Lance.
Yeah.
Because the two hosts won't be John and Lance.
No. So they're trying to duplicate that, and they're failing miserably at that. And it's impossible to duplicate. And yet they do it. It's the reason why there are no new ideas in Hollywood. Everyone's just doing something that someone else did. And then if someone does do something new, no one goes to see it anyway because they just want – that's why the movie business is the way it is.
Yeah. That's another one where people always complain about the thing they actually don't want.
Yeah.
It's the thing to complain about, but it's like, well, no one's going to go watch the original story. No. So,
Mike, I appreciate it. I'm there with you. I don't think those shows are very good, but we're stuck. I mean, most of us do, that those long-form shows were dedicated to the Super Bowl. Like, the Super Bowl would be an all-day thing. It'd be 4 or 5 hours. My favorite part about the Super Bowl that wasn't the game, was Bud Bowl. Anyone remember Bud Bowl when those bottles of beer would play football against each other? Bud Light versus Bud. It's from the late 80s and early 90s. They got rid of it because, hey, giving beer bottles personalities and having them play football, it's not something we want to push anymore. But they used to do it. And that was my favorite, as a kid, my favorite non-football part of the Super Bowl. But now I don't even know if they – and then they switched to Madden for a little bit, where Madden would simulate the Super Bowl, and they would do that.
Yeah.
But they don't even do that anymore.
Now it's all Puppy Bowl.
To be fair, I'd rather have Puppy Bowl than 4 hours of
– Americans have gotten soft. We used to have beer playing football.
We had beer playing
football.
It used
to be Bud Heavy versus Bud Light. Yeah. Now it's – bunch of golden retrievers.
Yeah, and some border collie
being
all lazy and taking a dump at the 5-yard line. Great. Eric, the real Eric, we'll get to him when we come back. He wants to talk about Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman was a big story yesterday. The Astros, at least on the field, seeming to acknowledge that he won't be an Astro for very much longer. I mean, hopefully it's a long playoff run, but even then, it'll end in November. So we'll talk to Eric about that. We'll get to the Texans as well. And if anyone else wants to throw some shade, and if we're trying to avoid gimmick infringement, throw a shot or slander at someone, you can do that here. You can call in 713-780-3776. We also have a couple giveaways to do, at least one. I know we have Cougar tickets to give away. Well, let me be clear. I'm not giving you a ticket to Cougars. It's the
Cougars. Can I win? Am I right?
No, it's Cougars versus – use that as our video, our social media thing, me and Sean being – No, it's Cougars. It's the Cougs versus the Cyclones on Saturday. Saturday, we have tickets for that. We'll give away here in a little bit. And also, we'll get to Texans too. We'll be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Let's welcome in Eric. He had an imposter earlier in the show. But this is the real Eric, I believe, and he wants to talk about Alex Bregman. What's up, Eric?
Hey, dog, great show, and we all know what makes those John and Lance type show great. The callers like La Raza and La Salsa and Eric Wong. But I want to say, Alex Bregman, you think he's coming back? Because Shea Whatcom did not look good yesterday.
What'd you call him?
And also, Shea Whitcom.
Okay, go ahead.
I know what you heard. I didn't say that, but anyway. Also, are you going to see the new movie by Sebastian Stan, The Apprentice? And also, did you see that great 30-minute-long trailer of The Thunderbolts? I'll hang up and listen.
It was pretty long. I guess they deemed it a teaser for the new Marvel movie, Thunderbolts. Yeah, I did see it. I also saw speaking of Marvel, Ryan Coogler, who directed the two Black Panther movies. He has a movie with the guy who played Killmonger, Michael B. Jordan. It's a new vampire movie, but you don't see the vampires in the teaser. It's set like in the 1930s. Michael B. Jordan is playing twins in the movie. Haley Steinfeld is in it, another Marvel person, Kate Bishop. And we don't see the monsters, but they're in it. It's supposed to be a 1930s Prohibition era vampire movie in the Deep South.
Sick.
I'm watching it. And
two Michael B. Jordans in this movie,
and at least one of them is a veteran, I believe. And
there we go.
And he's got it's not an assault rifle because it's the 1930s, but it's a gun with a lot of bullets, and all you see is him firing, but you don't know what he's firing at, but you can assume
probably the vampire.
Yeah, you would assume it's dusk, so that's has me in question. Do these vampires deal with the sun well? Are they all daywalkers? I'm not sure.
Maybe they're daywalkers.
And it's like, hey, I know Blade was supposed to be out like now, but I'm going to make my own vampire movie and get it out before Blade even shoots one shot. So we'll see how the Jordan Coogler vampire movie does and what it looks like. So I'm in on that. So he asked me about Bregman. Well, we've been discussing that quite a bit in the first hour, and I don't believe he's coming back. The Astros treated it like it was senior day. Like, it was like, hey, I've got another year of eligibility. Yeah, but you're not coming back. We know. That's what they treated Alex Bregman like yesterday. He ran out on senior day, and his family met him at midfield if it was college football. That's what it was like yesterday. Now, he'll play in the postseason, obviously, so we'll get to see him on the Minute Maid Park field. But the Astros, at least the guys in that dugout, are operating like he's not coming back. So he'll go the way of Springer and Correa, guys who kind of started it all, who won't be around in whatever new iteration the Astros have. And you heard Eric mention Shea Whitcomb. He was not good. Four turnovers in what felt like a passing of the torch type of situation. Well, he's like the U.S. men's 4x100 team. Those guys are terrible at passing the torch. And that's what it felt like yesterday, him throwing balls all over the place.
He definitely dropped the baton.
Yes, he did. Now, he has been fine in other moments as an Astro with the big club.
Just that moment.
But this particular moment when it felt like a symbolic thing where, hey, we're going from Bregman to you, he was like, could you stay with Bregman for a little bit more? I'm not ready for this. Hopefully he'll be ready for it. If it comes down to that, which it feels like it will, in April, late March of next year.
Hey, guys, the lights are too bright.
But you've been under these lights before. But this time, when I know it's real now, yeah. Before it was like, I don't know. I'm just filling in. But this felt like a real moment and would come not ready for the moment. But hey, it's just one night, and he may have a long, illustrious career as an Astro at third base. We remember Bregman. When he started, people were talking about sending him down because he could not get a hit. And look at him now. Going to make like $30 million per year over the next 7 years from somebody else. And it's got two World Series titles to his name. So there we are. Did he ask about anything else? I'm sure he did. So we got to Whitcomb. We got to the Thunderbolts. I did watch. It was long. I'm still interested. I like Florence Pugh. What else? Do we remember anything else he said?
No, he just patted himself on the back.
Oh, for being a great caller.
Yeah.
And why John and Lance are so great.
Yeah.
That's my role, Eric, to take credit. But if you want to, you can too. All right. When we come back, I believe we're still very late, right?
No.
We can go up to the top of the hour? Okay.
Yeah, let's get
to
that. 5 minutes early.
What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
How's
the matter?
I just assume 10:51 means we're not on time, but actually we are on time. So let's get to this. A giveaway here. I've mentioned the Cougs and their game against the Iowa State Cyclones. Well, if you want to go, now's your time. Caller 5 is 713-780-3776. I sprung that on the intern and Sean, but caller 5, 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to see the Cougs against Iowa State. The Cougs have their first home game of the Big 12 of their Big 12 schedule coming up. It is Hispanic Heritage Night, and it's a chance for the Cougs to bounce back. They did not fare well in Ohio against the Cincinnati Bearcats. Well, now they're home. We know their last home game. They beat up on Rice. Let's hope for a similar outcome on Saturday at TDECU, September 28th on Saturday. Check out your Cougs. Caller 5, 713-780-3776. And look, if you're not fortunate enough to win the tickets from us, you can also just go to the game. If you call 713-GO-COUGS, 713-GO-COUGS, and get your tickets now, you can partake in the Family Night Special. It's four tickets, four hot dogs, four drinks for just $80. $80 to see the Cougs. A family night out to watch great college football. Remember, come early, be loud, wear red. If you want to see the Cougs on Saturday against the Iowa State Cyclones. And we'll stick with the Cougs. We'll get to DeMeco Ryans in the next hour. Kelvin Sampson. I think the Cougs held their first practice. And in that moment, Kelvin Sampson took the opportunity to tell the world the Cougs aren't operating like a Big 12 program. He mentioned his time at Oklahoma. But the best part about it was he said, I'm tired of asking our donors for those miles. Those are their miles. We should have our own miles. And what he's talking about is a private jet. He talks about how it affects recruiting. And if they want to be in the Big 12, they should operate like that. I would agree. I don't know how cash poor the University of Houston is as far as their athletic administration. But the guy who's been the face of Cougs sports for now a long time, we know how much success the Cougs have had. He is telling you they're not operating like they should. And he would be the one, because Willie Fritz is new. Willie Fritz isn't in a place where he can say that. The baseball team, I mean, it's a non-revenue sport. The basketball coach, Kelvin Sampson, the guy who's on the NBA level, who's coached at big programs, he can say it. And the question is, will the administration respond? He is calling them out. He is saying we should not be so dependent on donors to make this thing go. I can't drive from Dallas to Houston and back to San Antonio for a recruit. And, you know, he's not strictly a Texas recruiter, so the PJ is needed. I never thought of I divorce how successful they've been and from what is actually going into back the program, because you hear about Tim and Fertitta. We know the Fertitta Center, one of the better facilities in the city. It's great to watch a basketball game. It is a refurbished old arena, but they've done a great job making that a great home for the Cougs, and certainly the players have as well. It makes it a place people want to go. So the one guy who can talk about give me my PJ is Kelvin Sampson. There's no one else who could go out there from a Cougs perspective and say it. And I do appreciate him saying enough with us being so dependent on the people who root for the team, went to the school, in some cases, willing to front some of our bills, front some of the money, pay for some of our bills. Why isn't the administration taking part? Because part of getting into the Big 12 is the money you get from being in the Big 12. It's not just simply, hey, we want to compete. Well, no longer, but we want to compete against Texas and Oklahoma and Baylor and TCU. It's the money that you get from a Big 12 TV deal as opposed to an AAC one. That's lucrative. And I thought I saw the numbers. I was trying to look it up. In 25-26, the Cougs, because of their membership, are on track to get like $32 million. I think that's the cut for the conference teams in 25-26 with the new TV deal. I don't know how far like $32 million can go, but can it get Kelvin Sampson some PJ miles?
I think it can get you some PJ miles. I mean, you have to pay a lot of other things.
Yeah, sure.
Too, but
you got to fund an entire athletic program.
Yeah, but I'm sure they can look under the mattress and find some PJ miles for that. I mean, like you said, he's the most successful coach at any of the UH athletics. So if anyone is getting PJ money, it should be Kelvin Sampson.
And let me correct myself, because there are two different stories out here about what Big 12 schools are getting. Because I see one that says $32 million. Now, the speculation initially when the deal was signed was that each school was going to get $42.6 million. So we'll see what the number is, but it's somewhere between, maybe Houston gets a little, I'm looking at it.
Could it be a difference between when they joined and it was 14 teams and now
possibly.
It's 16?
Possibly, but the new deal will mark an uptick in the Big 12's overall distribution number, which currently stands at $42.6 million per school. So this was at the time. So the new number, maybe the initial reporting was wrong, because this is back in 2022, and the information I said earlier about $32 million is more current. So either way, that's going to come into effect next year, And all I'm asking for is to get your most successful coach some more PJ miles. So he doesn't have to go begging. Excuse me, sir. Can I have some more miles, please? I think Kelvin Sampson simply wants to know that if I need to use a PJ, I can use a PJ, and it's at my beck and call. The recruiting hasn't suffered for his lack of miles, though. They're having a really good recruiting class, and they continue to get dudes. Hey, we talked about that kid earlier who is in the Kelvin Sampson mode, the Cougs mode of, yeah, I know he's like a 4 or 5-star recruit, but you know what the one issue he has? An untrustworthy jumper. Sounds like a Coug to me. Versatile, can play defense, will get after you. Just can't be depended on to make a shot, at least right now. So there it is. If you're a Coug fan, I mean, you can call and get some tickets if you want. But if you are a basketball fan of the Cougs, your coach is fighting. And he's not even asking you guys to foot the bill. This is in Tennessee. He ain't asking you to pay an athlete's fee for your tickets, like the Tennessee Vols are doing for their football program. He'd like the administration to step up, and he used Will Kunkel, Fox 26, to do it. We'll see if the administration is listening to Kelvin Sampson, or they're just going to say, hey, make another Final Four. You've only got one. We only listen to people who make two. I imagine that's not their approach. But it would be funny if it was that they talked to Kelvin Sampson away. I don't think they're doing that. He's really good at what he does. And he just wants some help. Doesn't appear he needs a lot, but I'm sure a little bit more would be great for him and the Cougs. When we get back, we'll get to a team in town who is not hurting for money. In fact, they just fixed NRG. The panels are fixed. That barrel damaged that was reported this week. Now the question is, with the weather supposed to be in the upper 80s for the game, will the roof be open again? We'll see. But the Texans are back in action on Sunday, trying to bounce back from their loss to the Vikings, and they have the Jags. And awful Jags team coming off an ass-kicking in Buffalo. They're going to be desperate as hell to get a win. The Texans don't have to give it to them. So we'll talk to D'Amico Ryans about the big issue from Sunday's game. And CJ is backing his OC. So we'll hear from CJ Stroud as well about some of the comments regarding Bobby Slowick. We'll get to that in the second hour. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.